Mickey Haller operates from the back seat of his Lincoln Town Car, a mobile law office that perfectly symbolizes his place in the Los Angeles legal system, always in motion, never fully at home anywhere. Unlike prosecutors who chase truth and justice, Haller sees himself as a mechanic who finds the cracks in cases built on mistakes and lies. "There is no client as scary as an innocent man," his father once warned him, advice that shapes his cynical approach to defense work. His practice runs on a carefully maintained network of relationships with bail bondsmen and courthouse personnel who feed him clients in exchange for kickbacks disguised as Christmas gifts. When wealthy real estate agent Louis Roulette is arrested for brutally assaulting a woman, Haller recognizes what every defense attorney dreams of: a franchise client who can afford premium rates. What he doesn't realize is that this case will force him to confront the darkest aspects of his profession and question everything he believes about justice. The Roulette case initially appears straightforward: a wealthy man caught at a crime scene with the victim's blood on him and his initialed knife nearby. Yet Roulette maintains his innocence with unwavering conviction. When surveillance footage shows the victim, Regina Campo, approaching Roulette at a bar and writing her address on a napkin, contradicting her statement that they'd never met, the case begins to unravel. Investigation reveals Campo's pattern of entertaining male visitors at regular intervals, suggesting she works as an escort who targeted Roulette for his wealth. Medical testimony confirms Campo's injuries came from left-handed strikes while Roulette is right-handed. The prosecution's case weakens further when Haller exposes Campo's deception about knowing Roulette and her profession. But beneath this seemingly perfect defense, Haller's instincts detect something sinister, especially when he discovers Roulette's knife measurements perfectly match wound patterns from an unsolved murder 2 years earlier. While building Roulette's defense, Haller makes a chilling discovery. Comparing photos of Campos and Martha Renteria's injuries, a murder victim from 2 years earlier, he notices identical wound patterns. Both women had similar appearances, both were attacked with a knife held to their throats from behind, and both were left-handed assaults. The revelation is devastating. Jesus Menendez, whom Haller convinced to plead guilty to Renteria's murder, is likely innocent. The real killer is Louis Roulette, his current client. During a visit to San Quentin, Menendez immediately identifies Roulette from a photo lineup as someone who had threatened him before Renteria's murder. The connection becomes undeniable. Roulette targets similar women, uses identical attack methods, and carries a matching knife. This discovery plunges Haller into an ethical nightmare. Attorney-client privilege prevents him from revealing what he knows about Roulette, yet an innocent man sits in prison. "I was caught between the proverbial rock and hard place," he realizes, "between my ethics as a lawyer and my desire to see justice done." How do you bring a murderer to justice when legal ethics prevent you from revealing what you know? Haller devises a brilliant double slingshot strategy. First, win Roulette's acquittal in the Campo assault case with charges dismissed with prejudice, then create circumstances where evidence of Roulette's guilt in the Renteria murder can emerge independently of attorney-client privilege. The courtroom becomes a sophisticated battlefield where Haller executes this plan with chess-like precision. When prosecution presents a jailhouse informant claiming Roulette confessed to killing a snake dancer, Haller orchestrates a devastating counterattack, proving the informant and Roulette were never in the same cell, exposing the informant's history of false testimony, and presenting DNA evidence from a case where the informant's lies caused a wrongful conviction. Throughout the trial, Haller maintains a dangerous balance, defending Roulette effectively while gathering evidence against him. This perilous game requires perfect timing, as the slightest miscalculation could derail his plan or cost him his life. The price of Haller's moral awakening proves steep. His investigator Raul Levin is murdered, shot in his home office. Haller suspects Roulette, believing Levin uncovered connections between the Campo and Renteria cases. When Roulet later appears in Haller's home, making veiled threats about Haller's daughter, the stakes become painfully personal. The situation worsens when Roulet confesses before trial. "I killed her," he whispers about Martha Renteria. He threatens Haller with attorney-client privilege, making himself my client forever and rendering his confessions unusable. This knowledge torments Haller throughout the trial. Sitting beside a client he knows is a murderer, he maintains distance, fearing his anger might turn violent. "I can't do this anymore," he tells his ex-wife, contemplating leaving his legal career. The final blow comes when Mary Windsor, Roulette's mother, shoots Haller in his home. As he bleeds on the floor, Windsor aims to finish him, shouting, "You tried to take my son from me!" Before she fires again, Haller shoots her with a gun from his pocket, becoming a killer now, a transformation that will haunt him long after his wounds heal. Throughout Haller's journey, we see the justice system functioning not as an abstract pursuit of truth, but as a flawed human institution. Judges make inappropriate jokes during sentencing, prosecutors withhold evidence, defense attorneys manipulate juries, and police develop tunnel vision. In Los Angeles County courts, financial resources often matter more than innocence. The system creates perverse incentives everywhere. Prosecutors advance careers through conviction rates rather than truth-seeking. Defense attorneys earn more from trials than plea deals. Jailhouse informants fabricate confessions for favorable treatment. Even judges can be compromised, as evidenced by the $100,000 bribe paid to fix Roulette's trial. Most disturbing is how the system's complexity enables manipulation by those who understand its workings. Haller routinely exploits legal technicalities regardless of clients' guilt. The novel suggests true justice often occurs despite the system, not because of it. When detectives arrest Roulette for Martha Renteria's murder after his acquittal in the Campo case, they're acting on evidence Haller helped uncover, evidence the system would have otherwise missed. Mickey Haller evolves from cynical system manipulator to justice seeker. Initially, he viewed law as negotiation, amelioration, manipulation, exploiting weaknesses in cases rather than pursuing truth. His redemption comes through seeking justice within professional ethics. After nearly dying, he finds satisfaction knowing Louis Roulette faces an impenetrable case for the Renteria murder, with prosecutors building evidence for a life sentence. Though cleared in Windsor's death, Haller struggles with becoming a killer now. Yet he finds hope in rebuilding relationships with his ex-wife and daughter. Despite ethical compromises, he plans to return to work. "I will pull the Lincoln out of the garage, get back on the road, and go looking for the underdog. I will be healed and ready to stand once again in the world without truth." In a system where truth is negotiable, Haller's journey suggests we must navigate justice with both professional skill and personal integrity, balancing the pursuit of redemption against ethical boundaries.